Welcome, Kathleen Pearl here, Simcha Torah. This is the last of the fall feast. And it is a holy day where no work is done. And it means rejoicing in the Torah. The first 5 books of the Torah, Genesis through Leviticus. And it's read in 1 year. Starting, the last text to be read is Deuteronomy. The last pages, and then the day after Simcha Torah begins the reading from Genesis. So in a year, you read from Genesis to Deuteronomy. That is the Torah readings. And then there's the Parsha readings, which are the prophets and the historical books. And for those of us who are believers in the first coming of the Messiah, in the name of Yeshua, we read the Brit Hadashah, which is the New Covenant. And thereby reading the entire scriptures throughout the year, from Genesis to Revelation. Of course, for us, we believe in the fulfilled covenant that Yeshua is the feast fulfilled. He is the Torah, so we rejoice in him. And it's also a day of closing the books. It's a very significant day because these are 4 signs and types. And that the Jews, conservative and Orthodox and all of that, will dance around the Torah, encircling the Torah, really a symbol of the bridegroom encircling the bride. And these are the holidays appointed by God on the 8th day, customarily. And there's the Kiddush is done, which is the communion, and there's a festive meal, and God sanctified us with 3 holidays, and Simcha Torah is the conclusion of that. If you want more, you can read about that. I'm just going to give you, on the 8th day will be an assembly for you, no matter work shall you done, out of Numbers 29. That was the 35th verse that I read. And as Yeshua was the fulfillment of this feast, I believe he was born, as do some others, during the Feast of Tabernacles. He was God, Emmanuel, God tabernacling with us in flesh, and that he will return. And so this is his birthday, and this is his bridal ceremony that under the glory of the Lord, the Feast of Tabernacles, he'll come and return, and over all the earth the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. He is the second Adam, and we become a new creation redeemed by his blood. We are DNA, we have a DNA change, and we are born again. As the blood brings life into us, so his blood, he cut a covenant of blood with us, and we rejoice that he is the Tav, the end, that's the last letter of the Hebrew. He's the end of Simcha Torah, the conclusion of the book at the end of Deuteronomy. And he's the Aleph, he's the beginning, Bereshit. In him all things were created in and through him by him, and all things are being reconciled back to him through his blood. So he is the Alpha and the Omega. He has the keys to death and the hell. He's the Aleph and the Tav. He's the Word made flesh. He is, so we rejoice in him because he has fleshed out the feast and fulfilled the covenant for his bridal ceremony, that we come under his tupa and that we carry his presence. And this is a day that no work is done because we come into the rest of the Lord, the 4 ordained works that he has for us. And when he said it is finished on the cross, It was finished by the shedding of his blood, and this is the blood covenant that we have with him, that we are a new creation, and a new heaven and earth is our inheritance, in which his righteousness shall reign in eternity. Therefore, in this particular paradigm that we're in now and that we're communicating through, without this work, the snake came into the garden, the reptilian liar, deceiver, and he seduced us into sin, which we broke fellowship with him. And it's interesting because in some books it says that we weren't ever meant to write and read the letters, but we were to, and I was thinking about this concept, thinking, well, why? What's wrong with writing, reading and writing? I mean, we need to do that because otherwise we're ignorant. In the garden, we were abiding in the presence of the Lord, and he was the Word. He spoke and created. Therefore, we didn't have to learn and study these things. It was in us. But because of sin, because we listened to the lie of the serpent, and this is why Yeshua told us many times when he taught, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So hearing is a big issue, and opening our ears to hear the truth and discern out the lie is contingent upon our eternal destiny. Now, because mankind listened to the lie of the reptilian in the garden, an angel with a flaming sword was stationed to stop the way into the Garden of Eden. And east of the Garden of Eden, Israel is Jerusalem. And this sword is the truth. It is the sword that comes out of the Lord's mouth. It is his word that cuts and divides between spirit, flesh, joint, and marrow, even into the intents of the heart. It is the cross. It is his shed blood. It's this covenant that was cut, and the way of life back to the tree of life and eternal life is through this flaming sword, the word made flesh. Now, to him who overcomes, it says in the book of Revelation to the churches, I will give him a crown of life. So this eternal life is the royal priesthood that we're called into. And royal implies the king or a queen, someone who's overcome, who reigns, who has authority. And a priest is someone who ministers to the Lord. And these are directives and instructions. Let's look at Deuteronomy 17:14 over the directives that the king or a queen, whatever they may be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God has given you, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt say, in any wise set him king over there, whom the Lord God shall choose. One from among thy brothers shalt thou set as king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said to you, you shall henceforth no more return that way. So don't go back to Egypt, the idolatry, the lifestyle, the bondage, and the slavery. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart may turn not away. So no harem ministries, no houses of bondage, no multiple wives. This is not the heart of God. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Stop lusting after wealth as though it has a false security. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. So he's to write. Why? Because writing, not just reading and hearing, but writing reinforces the learning process. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and these statutes to do to them every day. So we are to meditate on this book every day. We are to write it out. And that verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. Pride. In other words, you're to stay, you know, co-equal with your brothers. You're not special. You're like, remember, thou art mortal. You are like any other man on this earth. And in fact, I would like to interject here that as a sovereign, as someone who's to steward over people, you have a greater responsibility and accountability for the gifts to steward them correctly in the Spirit of God and not to lord it over. And that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now, this is an instruction for all of us who are called to rule and reign with whatever and wherever God has put us in whatever circumstances we are. And the priesthood, priests must be holy. That means separated and apart, set to minister to God, and not be profane and to be an example. To be an example. So you're a royal priesthood, and you are to instruct others in the law and the way, and by your walk, not just your talk. One of the things that was discussed in Zechariah this season about the judgment, because this has been a season of God's judgment, and now the Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the civil year, and the nations have come into judgment. If you look on Mount Scopus in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem's a type, its scope means to look, to see, to view. If you see that view from Mount Scopus, which is the strategic high place of the mountains around Jerusalem to take the city, you have to take Mount Scopus. And it looks down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is the valley that judges the nations. And this is what somebody who has authority under the government of God in their priesthood, their prayers to the Lord, is to release the counsel of God's heart and his judgments, knowing his ways and knowing how he rules and what is to happen in this dimensional paradigm that we're locked into. He who is established on his holy hill, if you understand Psalm 2, if you understand this season, and now the books are closed, and whatever repentance and turning away from sin, whatever searching, and whatever the Lord has instructed you, it will set the books. The books are written. May your name be inscribed in the book of life, in the book of righteousness. You know, you don't want to get thrown out of the book. Why did the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, this is what the wicked nations do. And in a vision, in an intercession, I saw the dragon rise up and try to usurp his authority once again over God's city. But God says, my eyes and my heart are here always, and I will never take them away. Why? Because Yeshua spent his blood, and his blood is crying out from Jerusalem. His blood cries out for all things to be reconciled, and his blood is better than the blood of Abel. And these visions, these gods that have come into this city, okay? He sits in the heavens and he laughs because he, the Lord, is drawing them into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and he's going to have them in derision, the nations are derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath, and yes, in his sore displeasure. Yet have I said upon my holy hill of Zion, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Okay, so there are kings and judges. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they who put his trust in him. Now this rod of iron, and there's a lot behind the rod of iron and the rule in the midst of your enemies. And your enemy is Satan, who lifts you up in pride. Anything that is not flowing in the spirit is flowing in the flesh. Anything that is in pride is not of God, because the root issue of Satan's rebellion was pride. And that's when you lift yourself up and say you are something more than these other peoples, and you use people. Use people so that you can promote your kingdom and your little ministry, and not the kingdom of heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you are not promoting the Lord, if you are not pointing to the headship of Jesus, if you are not under his headship, if you're under the headship of the government, the political governments, you are not under the headship of the Lord Yeshua. If you're under Caesar, then you render to Caesar. You're part of Caesar's system. Okay? You're not under the kingdom of heaven. You're not under Yeshua. This was the issue with John on Patmos. I won't go into that now. We are, like Jesus said to Pilate, he was true standing before him. And if you can't recognize it, it's because you've been blinded and you are under a strong delusion sent by God, because you believe the lie and you love the lie. And he said his kingdom was under God's perfect jurisdiction. And this is the kingdom. And in the morning star, it says, I will give you, a rod of iron. Anyway, a rod of iron is ruined. He'll dash the nations into pieces like a potter's. God himself will do this. The Lord rules. He reigns even from eternity. He said it was finished. We cannot move in our arm of flesh. That must be crucified. It must be cut away. It must be circumcised off, rather than the covenant arm of God. By their own perversions of the law and by their own teachings and doctrines, Jesus rebuked the teachers of his day, saying, you've rendered the law of God null and void. Why? What is the law of God? It's very simple. Summed up in this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is fulfilled all the law and the prophets. So in this land, there comes this twisted perversion snaking out of these open mouths of doctrines and teachings, which are not from the Spirit of God. And I see the Lord is going to send in his witnesses and his testimonies against those teachers who are walking in hypocrisy, false teachers and false prophets, calling the judgments of God onto this land with decrees of wrath. And the times and seasons are coming, and the clouds are coming for the gathering rain. Having broken God's decree, they have brought a rain of terror rather than of God's righteousness. But the spirit of David is a broken and contrite spirit of repentance, bringing in his kingdom, God's mercy, God's power, God's majesty. And there's a song that says, Father, I come to you by the blood of Christ. I give to you an offering of a consecrated life, priesthood, kingship, God of glory, God of power, and God of majesty. Let's look at this sort of thread in Revelation 11. I'm going to read it to you and break it down a little bit. Then we will go to the concluding scriptures of Deuteronomy for the blessings. If you sin, you bring the curses of Deuteronomy 28. If you're obedient, you bring the blessings. And this is about Jerusalem. The earthly Jerusalem, where God's eyes are here, but there's the heavenly Jerusalem. Our king and our coming kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is heaven. And there was given me a reed, like unto a rod, And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So there's a measuring going on here. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot for 42 months. This is a very specific time period. This is a very specific reality. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. They are not a spirit or anointing. They are two people. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And I would imagine they are men. Doesn't say that, but the two witnesses imply the two candlesticks and the two olive trees in Zechariah. And this is the priesthood. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. These are men or witnesses ordained from the foundations and vessels created for specifically this purpose in this time of 42 months. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. But they will according to the divine counsel of God, because they are in agreement with heaven. That means they don't really do anything outside of the will of God. And then when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them. That's the government system, as trying to dominate the flesh of this earth and rule over it, and shall overcome and kill them. And their dead bodies, these are literal dead bodies, shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. There's no other city in the world except for Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And that they dwell, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. So these two witnesses are prophets. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now this implies the resurrection of Yeshua and the 3.5 years of God's wrath poured out on the earth. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they sent up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe coming quickly. And the 7th angel sounded. Whoo, I'm telling you, this great earthquake is going to be something. And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake, and great hail. And these are the judgments of the testimony of heaven and who Yeshua is. These are awesome, awesome passages in the conclusions and the fall feast and the final closing out of this age. And there's much in this passages that is just stunning. But let's close out Simcha Torah with the rejoicing in God of mercy, God of glory, God of power, God of majesty. I want to read to you Moses' Song of Joy and then the blessings where Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. That is Deuteronomy 32 and 33. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness unto our God. He is our rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth without iniquity, just and righteous is he, and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, and Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, and spreads abroad her wings, taking them, bearing them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and that is drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten that form the God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, for a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn into the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with burning heat, and bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. And their grapes are grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asp. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword and my hand to take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O you nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And Moshe came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of this people, he and Hoshea the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all of Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land whither you go over the Jordan to possess it. And the Lord spake unto Moshe that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people, because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel by the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Shall not see the land before thee. Thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give unto the children of Israel. Chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. I just concluded. Now let's read chapter 33, the blessings of the tribes. And you pray, you ask God, where is your tribal inheritance and your spiritual inheritance? If you don't have an inheritance and you don't know about it, how can you steward your inheritance? So you must get from the Lord yourself personally what is your spiritual and your natural inheritance. And this is the blessing wherewith Moshe, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of his saints from his right hand, went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at the feet, every one shall receive of thy words. And Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was a king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him into his people, unto his people. And let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou a help to him from his enemies. And of Levi, he said, let the Thummim and the Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. Thou shalt teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. And they shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifices upon thy altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin, he said, thou beloved of the Lord shalt dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph, he said, bless of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that couches beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwell in the bush, that the blessings come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. And they shall call the people unto the mountains. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of the treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown of his head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated, and he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thy enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. May you know the blessing of the Lord. May he be with you. He said in Matthew at the end of 28, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Fear not, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. God bless you. God bless you.